की जाए, अनंत गति वैष्णव वृंद की जाए, नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की जाए। फ्रेंड से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्तवृंद की जाए। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपिका प्रसायम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जाए। वृंदावनम की जाए, मथुराम की जाय, नवदीप धाम की जाय, जगत स्वामी की जाय, यमुना माई की जाय, श्रीमती गुलासी देवी की जाय, समवेद भक्त वृंद की जाय, गौर प्रेमानंद हरि हरि बोल। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sitaram ki jai, Hanuman ki jai, Lakshman ki jai, Shatrughna ki jai, Bharat ki jai, Vaishalya ki jai, Sumitra ki jai, Kaikeyi ki jai, Dasarath ki jai. Okay, so, Om Ganata Madandasha Gananjana Shalakya Chakshuram Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're going to tell the story of Lord Ram's appearance, and if we get a chance, we'll tell the story of Sugriva and Bali's appearance, but let's see how much time we have. So, before Lord Ram appeared, the Lord was in the spiritual world. Now, of course, he is called Lord Narayan, also Krishna, who is the source of Lord Narayan. So, the Lord was implored by the demigods, specifically Bhumi, the earth personified, that she was overburdened with demons. And we all know the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutanama dharmasya tadatma jam. Sri jami aham, that Krishna comes whenever there's a decline in religion and a rise in irreligion. He comes, Prichanaya Sadanam Vinashaya Chadushkutam, to protect the devotees' established religious principles. However, I got news for you, Krishna doesn't have to come to do those things. It can be done by Krishna's devotees, and even Durga Devi is perfectly capable of getting rid of the demons. And the devotees are perfectly capable of establishing religious principles. So the real internal reason that Krishna or the Lord comes is because he wants to enjoy in this world doing certain things that he doesn't do in the spiritual world. And what are those things? Like killing demons. Krishna, God, he has all the qualities that we have, but to an ultimate, unlimited degree. Just like some of you may like to fight, right? So you may fight with your family members. But Krishna, he wants to have a serious fight too. Just like you all like these rugby games and the what other sports you have, soccer, rugby, Fiji Sevens. So that original propensity is there in Krishna. So Krishna is thinking, I want to have a good fight, a good rugby game. So none of those rugby games are allowed in the spiritual world. So therefore, Krishna has to have his devotees come down so we can have a good fight, because Krishna enjoys fighting with his devotees. So what happened is that you have these two personalities in the spiritual world, Jai and Vijay. And Krishna arranged, they were cursed by the four Kumaras, because they stopped the four Kumaras from going to the spiritual world. They're the doorkeepers. They were cursed to come down to this earth planet as demons. And so the first births they took were Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And after that, our good friend Ravan and our hungry friend Kumbhakarna, because Kumbhakarna could eat a lot. And after that, Dantavakra and Shishupal. And to go back to the spiritual world, they took birth of Jagai and Madai, and associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that's a different story. So Krishna came down for his own purposes. So whenever the Lord appears, he comes down for his own purposes and then for our purposes. Our purposes means to destroy the demons and protect the devotees, and his purposes are to enjoy a good fight or other activities within this world. There's one more purpose. The other purpose is to show us what he's like so we will get attracted to him. So when you see the pastimes of Lord Ram, or the pastimes of Krishna, or any incarnation of God, you lose attraction for the things of this world. In other words, you don't want to see any more rugby games. That's the proof that you're attracted to Lord Ram. Because Lord Rama's fighting with Ravana is much more exciting than any sort of movie, rugby game, or anything else. So he comes down so we're attracted to him. And the advantage of being attracted to him is what? Janma karma. Chame divyam evam yo iti tatvataha. Chaktva deham puno janma. Naiti mametri sojana. At the end of this life, we go back to him. And we get to enjoy forever. Ever and ever and ever, a lifetime of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Okay. So that's the philosophy behind the Lord's advent. Okay. So now we'll talk about the specifics, the details, about the Lord's advent in this world as Lord Ram. So once upon a time, many, many millions of years ago, there was this king, his name was Dasarath. Dasarath means the person who could fight in 10 directions at once, or with 10 chariots at once. Dasarath. So he always wanted a son. But guess what? He had a daughter. Many of you don't know this. And his daughter's name was Shanti. But he wasn't happy. He wasn't Shanti because he didn't have a son. You understand? He wasn't Shanti. He wasn't peaceful because he wanted a son. So he gave his daughter away to another king whose name was Roma Pod. And that means the king with the hairy feet. You know, Roma Pod. So anyway, this king had hairy feet. For some reason, he got a name like that. So he was lamenting. Why did he want a son? Well, let's ask why he wants a son first. He wanted a son so that someone could take over the kingdom after he took sannyas. Because the kings, they understood that at the end of life they would devote themselves completely to God, to Krishna, so that they could achieve the successful purpose of human life, which is to go back to Godhead. Because throughout their lives they're dealing with the mode of passion. So at the end they want to become Krishna conscious. And that's one reason. Another reason the king wanted a son was that someone would be able to offer a pinda when he left this world. So pinda means that someone is offering different ceremonies and sacrifices to the forefathers. The son is called putra. Putra means he who saves his father from hell. That means when the father dies, he performs the sacrifice and he keeps giving the father all sorts of good karma. It's like when you send someone on vacation and you pay the bills for them. You understand the principle? Like you send them to some hotel and you give them your credit card. That's what it means to have a good son. So people wanted to have a good son. So that's another reason. So he was very, very upset and he had three wives. He tried his best with three wives and it just didn't work. Just one daughter came out. So he thought, what should I do? And then he was thinking, what I should do is perform the Ashva Medha sacrifice. What's that? The firecrackers, that's all right. Tell them to turn the firecrackers off. Lord Ram has not appeared yet. Okay, enough celebration. So He thought, let me do a asva made a sacrifice. Asva made a sacrifice is a horse sacrifice. So he called all the Brahmins from the kingdom together, Brahman Javali, and so many, Vashishtha Muni, and so many different sages came. And they said, that's a good idea. But then he had a talk with his prime minister, Sumantra. And Sumantra said, I have a better idea. Because many years ago, the four Kumaras came, and they said that you would be performing this other sacrifice called Putra Kameshti. That means someone who has a desire for a son. And so you should do that sacrifice. And so he took the advice of his prime minister, Sumantra, and he went to Vashishtha Muni, who was his guru. Vashishtha Muni was the guru of the dynasty coming down from Vivaswan, because Dasarath appeared in the Vivaswata dynasty, or the dynasty from the sun, Surya Vamsa. It's called the Surya Vamsa, whereas Krishna appeared in the Soma Vamsa, or the dynasty coming from the moon. So he went to his guru, and he said, Gurudev, I want to do this Putra Kameshti. And Gurudev said, good idea, but there's one problem. The only way you can do this Putra Kameshti is the priest has to be someone who has never seen a woman his whole life. That means he couldn't even have seen his mother. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Can't see his mother, he can't see any lady his whole life. You know, just brahmachari, at least for the first few years of his life. And so, therefore, Dasarath said, who was such a person? Has anybody here in this room never seen a lady his whole life? Don't look. It was very hard. So it turned out that there was such a person. His name was Rishi Sringa, and his story is very interesting. Rishi Sringa, that means the Rishi with a horn on his head, like a deer, deer's horn. So Rishi Sringa was the son of this Vibhondaka, who is the son of Kashyapa Muni. So once upon a time, we're going to another story right now, Vibhondaka was in the forest meditating. And what happens when the sages meditate a lot, the demigods get very nervous because they're thinking the sages are meditating because they want to become Indra, want to become a demigod, right? So what do? Does anyone know what they do? They send apsaras and Cupid. For Cupid fires his arrows, form, taste, smell, like that. Like when it's springtime especially, right? People fall in love. We've seen many times people falling in love. And when they fall in love, they lose their brains. And the scientists say it is worse than when one takes drugs. They did some brain analysis. True. I'm not just making this. I did a brain scan. And they said the person's brain was worse than when he was taking some heavy drugs. So that's Cupid. He gives you heavy drugs. And they don't arrest him. Cupid is also called Ananga. Because one time he tried to disturb Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva burnt him to ashes with his glance. And so you can't see Cupid. That's even worse. If you could see him, it would be good. He'd come in the door. Oh, here's Cupid. I'm going out at the other door. But because you can't see him, it's pretty dangerous. So what happens? The demigods, they send Cupid along with Cupidettes. That means little girls, big girls. So what happened is they sent this one girl called Harsha, a nice smile girl. She had a smile. So they sent her down to try to get this Vibhondaka to give up his austerities. So she comes down, she says, hi, Vibhondaka. I'm in love with you. And I want to get married. He says, no, I will not do that. She said, I will commit suicide unless you give me a child. And he gets very upset with that. So he's thinking, I don't want to be responsible for her death, but also, I'm not getting married, that's for sure. So he gives some of his genetic material. This is like a, you know, gene stuff. Anyway, so he gives some of his genetic material to her, but she says, that's not what I wanted. And she gives it to a deer. And as a result, the deer has a baby. And that baby is that Rishi Sringa. But it's a human baby with it like a deer horn on his head. That's Rishi Sringa. So this Bibhantaka, he was so upset that he almost got tricked by this lady Harsha. He thought, there's no more women allowed in this forest. So he got rid of all the female deer, all the female cockroaches, you know, any animal that was in the forest. You know, there were only men allowed in the forest. So this Rishi Sringa, he was brought up without seeing any ladies. So he was protected by his father. His father was thinking, my son is never going to see a lady. I'm going to keep him as a good brahmachari. It doesn't work, actually. It doesn't work at all. People have tried that before. So what happened is that, let's go back to Romapad, the King Romapad, who had Dasara's daughter, Shanti. Remember that? I mentioned that before. He had a problem in his kingdom. His problem was there was no rain. Here there's too much rain. But the problem was that there was no rain because a Brahmin had become offended. And then his guru told him the only way to get rain is to have Rishi Sringa go to your kingdom. So everyone was afraid to approach Rishi Sringa because his father, Vibhandaka, had a terrible temper. Horrible temper. So they were thinking, how can we bring him here? So he asked his guru, Romapad asked his guru, how can we bring Rishi Sringa here? And his guru said, the way is you have to send some ladies to bring him here. He won't recognize a lady. He'll think a lady is a very good-looking man. You know, because he never saw a lady his whole life. And that way he'll come. So, Romapad called for what they call courtesans. You know what a courtesan is? Anyway, I don't want to describe what that is. I mean, ladies who are not that chaste. I think you understand what I'm saying. So he called for them, the most beautiful girls in the kingdom, and he said, we have a mission for you. He said, mission impossible. So, we have a mission for you. You bring Rishi Sringa here, and you have to do some trick. So they said, all right, we need a lot of money to do this. Because we have to construct a floating ashram on the river. So they had an ashram that was actually with palm trees and everything like that. It floated on the river. And they floated it down to where Rishi Sringa was. And they were looking with their binoculars to see when Rishi Sringa's father wasn't there. And when Vibhandaka went out for a little while, the most beautiful of the girls went to the ashram of Rishi Sringa, Vibhandaka's ashram also, and she was chanting Vedic mantras. She sort of dressed like a Brahmin. She was going, Swaha Om Narayanaya, Swaha Om Narayanaya, Swaha. So she went to Vibhandaka's ashram, and Rishi Sringa looked up and said, thought it was a Brahmin, but a very good-looking Brahmin. He thought, I have never seen such a good Brahmin before. And he said to her, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Prabhupada. Not really all glories to Prabhupada, but he said, please accept my obeisances. And she said, where I come from, the country I come from, we don't offer obeisances, we hug. You understand? Hug. So he thought, this is better than obeisances. And he didn't know as a woman, he just thought, you know. And he said, all right, let me give you some roots from the forest, because they were living in the forest. And he gave her some of these roots, and she said, I have some nice forest fruits for you, too. And she gave him some jalebis and laddus. And he had never tasted jalebis or laddus his whole life. I mean, all he was eating was roots and dried fruit and stuff like that. And so he ate those, and he goes, wow. Not only are the Brahmins better from where you come from, but the food is better. And so he was, now, and he said, wait till my father comes back. And she thought, I'm not waiting. So she ran away. She said, I'll come back some other day. So they waited until the father disappeared again, or he went out to do some Brahmin business. And so she came back and said, I'd like to invite you to my ashram. And he said, yeah. Sounds like a good idea. So she went, it's an interesting story, isn't it? So he went with her to this ashram that was floating in the river, and then they took the anchor away and they floated back to Romapad's kingdom, and immediately there was rain. In the meantime, Vibhandaka returned home, and he was angry, and he was ready to curse Romapad, or do whatever had to be done to teach Romapad a lesson. So then, Romapad had a very good strategy. He told everyone on the road to his kingdom to say that the kingdom belonged to Rishi Sringa, because Rishi Sringa was going to marry Romapad's daughter, who was named, does anyone remember her name? Shanti, who was actually Dasara's daughter. Interesting, isn't it? So then Vibhandaka, his flames were coming out of his ears. You know, he was so angry. Someone has tricked my son, even when I was trying to protect him. And so he came to the kingdom and he said, who does this land belong to? And they said, your son. And then he said, all right, I guess I have to surrender. And so Rishi Sringa married Shanti. But remember, Dasarath was also very good friends with Romapad Maharaj. Of course, that's the name of one of our sannyasis in ISKCON. So I almost said Romapad Swami. I got to be careful. He's one of my friends. So Romapad and Dasarath were like that, friends. So Dasarath, in order to get Rishi Sringa, went to Romapad's kingdom, and he said, can I borrow your son-in-law and your daughter, my daughter, for some time? And so they came to Dasarath's kingdom, to Ayodhya, to perform the sacrifice. And so they performed the sacrifice, this Putra Kameshti, and when they performed it, Rishi Sringa, of course, was quite successful. And the Yajna Purush, the personality of the sacrifice, came out and he offered this kheer. And this kheer was given to Dasarath's wives. Of course, Kausalya got some. Kaikeyi got some. Kaikeyi was the youngest wife. She was the favorite because she was the youngest. And Kausalya was the oldest. Because Kaikeyi was the most attractive, you understand. So you find this in many cases with kings. They would marry many wives, and the youngest was always the favorite. Like with King Uttanapada, there was Suruchi and Suniti. And Suruchi, the youngest, most attractive, then she was the favorite, and she was able to kick Dhruva Maharaj off of his lap, off of the king's lap. So, anyway, so Kaikeyi got some, and Kausalya got some, and then they divided their portion up and gave some to Sumitra. And that's why Sumitra's two boys became the servants of, first of all, one of them became the servant of Kausalya's son, who was who? Who was Kausalya's son? Ram. And Sumitra, other son, became the servant of Kaikeya's son, who was Bhart. So that's Lakshman, right? And Shatrughna. So that's where you have these two pairs there. You understand? Lakshman, Ram, Shatrughna, and Bhart. And they were always together. They were inseparable, those personalities. So that's the story of the appearance of Lord Ram. Now I'd like to tell the story, since we have some more time. We have 5 more minutes. The story of Sugriva's appearance and Bali's appearance, because they're brothers. So we have to understand, why are they considered brothers and why do they become enemies? And who are their fathers and who is their mother? Because they're half-brothers. So here's the story. It's a very interesting story. Once upon a time, as all stories begin... There was the sun. The sun is the sun god's Vivas One. See, they're all connected to the sun god, which is really interesting. And Vivas One's driver is named, does anyone know what his driver's name is? Starts with an A. Aruna. So Aruna was driving the chariot of the sun, and they had a vacation. The reason they had a vacation was this one lady caused the sun to stop in its path and not rise one day because her husband was cursed to die the next day when the sun rose. The story is from the Markandeya Purana. Her husband was cursed by Markandeya Rishi. And this, not going to tell that whole story. That's a big story. But she was a chaste lady. A chaste lady can stop the rising of the sun or the moon. So you should be very careful. Don't offend a chaste lady or else finished. All of you men should offer obeisances to your wives every night, touch their feet, and beg their forgiveness. Okay. I mean, even Ravana's wife, she was a chaste lady. Right? See, the ladies will take advantage of that statement I just made. So what happened is that the chariot had to stop. So Vivaswan said to Aruna, "You can have a little vacation, but come right back." So he thought, for my vacation, I want to go see a dance. There was a dance taking place in Indra's kingdom, in the heavenly planets. And there the Apsaras were dancing. And so Aruna went there, but they wouldn't let him in. Because generally he's not allowed in those types of performances. So he thought, I want to go in. I want to see the dancing. And he thought, the only way I can go in is if I take a female form. Because the demigods are the higher living entities. They can change their forms at will. So he became Aruni. You understand? Aruna, Aruni. That's feminine. And so he went to the doorkeeper and he said, can I come in? I'm one of the dancers. And they let him in. And when Indra saw him, because he was the sun god's charioteer, was the sun god's charioteer, he was very brilliant. A very brilliant lady. So Indra looked at Aruna, Aruni, and he told the other girls, get out of here. He said, I don't want to see you anymore. You know, you're ugly compared to this girl. So he went to Aruni, and he said to Aruni, I love you. Or whatever. And she, or he, as the case may be, said, you don't understand who I actually am. And he said, I don't care. You know, like I was saying, what is this? Love really bewilders you. You know, it's like even Indra. He becomes, like Indra came down and to the earth planet and had a relationship with this Ahalya. You know that story. Gautama Rishi's wife. And he got in trouble for that. So Indra falls in love many times. So Indra fell in love. And as a result of that, Bali was born. And you know, Bali means strong. So then Aruna changed back into his male form. You know, he thought, boy, I really got in trouble that time. And then he went back to the sun god. And he said to the sun god, here I am. And the sun god, Vivaswan, said, where were you? And he said, well, you don't want to hear. You don't want to hear what I did. And, you know, when you tell someone you don't want to hear, it makes them more curious. This is not for you. It's a secret. If you really want to have someone be curious, you just tell someone something's a secret, right? So he said, it's a secret. You don't want to hear it. The sun god said, you're my servant. You tell me. And so Aruna said, well, I made a mistake, you know, I became a lady, and, you know, this happened and that happened, and Bali was born. Because when children are born in the heavenly planets, they're born full grown. So they're not, you know, there's no little babies, no crying, no diapers or anything in the heavenly planets. It's all full grown. So What happened was that he told the sun god the story, and the sun god said, "That's an interesting story. Could I see that form? Could I see what you look like as a lady? You know, I'm really curious." And Aruna said, "You don't want to see that form." And sun god said, "Show me." And then he showed the form of Runi, and guess what? He fell in love. And as a result, Sugriva was born. So that's, you never heard that story before? It's an interesting story. So that's why Sugriva and Bali are brothers. But here's one more point. I guess they have to start RT in the story in a second. So we asked the question, why did Hanuman associate with Sugriva rather than Bali? So I'm going to answer that question. So when Hanuman was a young boy, he wanted to hear about the Vedic literatures, and he was told to study under the sun god. And so Hanuman went to the sun god. This was after he tried to swallow the sun, many years later after that. So Hanuman went to the sun god and said, "Will you please give me instructions on the Vedic literatures?" And the sun god said, "The problem is I'm always moving. So how am I going to give you instructions?" So Hanuman said, "I will fly through the air facing backwards as you're flying forward, and you could give me instructions." And so he got instructions. So after Hanuman got instructions from the sun god, what happened is this: Hanuman asked the sun god, "What sort of guru dakshin do you want?" And Vivaswan said to him, "I want the guru dakshin that you will always serve and protect my son Sugriva." So that's why you find Hanuman always with Sugriva, very, very loyal to Sugriva, because that was his guru dakshin to the sun god. So that's a very wonderful story. So we told some stories. I think they're getting ready. Is it RT time? So it's time for RT. The stories I've been telling, they're from the Valmiki Ramayana. The Valmiki Ramayana is the original Ramayana spoken by the sage Valmiki under the instructions of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni, and the seven rishis, the Sapta rishis. And this Valmiki Ramayana contains all these different details about the stories of Ravana, Mahi Ravana, where Lanka or how Lanka was constructed, stories about the history of the family of Ravana, the history of Dasara's family, many, many details. So we request you all to study this Valmiki Ramayana, because this is such a wonderful literature, and it is written by a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of God, and by reading it, you will all become great devotees of Sri Ram, be able to chant Sri Ram's name purely, and ultimately be attracted to Sri Ram and go back and be with Sri Ram eternally in the spiritual ayodhya, right? Or go back to Goloka Vrindavan, whichever neighborhood you want to go to, you can go to. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Ram ki jai.